I'll be reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. For everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. This is the word of the Lord.
I want to start off the message today with a little experiment. I'm going to sing a little melody, and I want to see if you can finish it together with this community. Yeah? Okay, good. That was it. Who knows what this is called? Four seasons by? Okay. Everyone knows this. You don't have to be a lover of classical music or the violin or whatever. You don't really have to be into all of it. Everyone knows the Four Seasons by Vivaldi. It's this classical piece that just everyone knows. Famous piece of music. And what is interesting about it, it's going through the four seasons of nature. And what is so beautiful, it's like 10 minutes in every season. And it really expresses like the feel of every season. So it starts off with spring, it's happy, it's cheerful, nature is coming to life again. And then comes summer. Summer is more, you know, it's hot, you know, he's writing in Italy, so it's hot and it's like easygoing, you know, he's just waking up from his siesta. You know, they do that in Spain. And then it's slow, you know, it's all of that. And then fall comes. So, and it's this, it tries to, that piece of music tries to express the beauty of the leaves turning, you know, like a beautiful fall season, but also a bit of the threat of storms coming. And then it ends with winter. And also that reveals the beauty of like a landscape covered in snow, but it also kind of slows down and tones down to the darkness and the cold. And all of these bits of music together, they reveal some of the beauty of each season. It has an appreciation for every season that nature is going through and we with nature are going through. And lovers of classical music, and especially of this piece, they might argue which season of the whole symphony, how do you call it, is the most beautiful. Which part do people like? And I think everyone has their own favorite part of the four seasons. Yet, this is a very non-expert opinion. I think if Vivaldi would have started off the four seasons with winter, I don't think it would have been as popular. I think there's something to those first tones, that starts with spring, that makes you want to listen to the rest as well. And as you go through that, then you have this appreciation for every season. But if you start off with winter, if you start off with fall, then you're like, yeah, I know that, but it's not really this invitation to listen to the rest as well. And I think there's something in us that, where we gravitate to the spring seasons of life as well, to the summer seasons, to the happy times, to the cheerful times, to the time when everything is coming in bloom and when things are going well. I think this is also always the pictures that we put up on our walls, you know, pictures from holidays, pictures from nice moments, from beautiful family times, and beautiful times with friends, and usually in the sun where you can wear shorts and when you have sunglasses and all of that. Like it's this, I think we naturally gravitate towards the springtime. But what I really like about the four seasons, and what I like about the passage that we've read, is it shows this deep appreciation for every season that we go through. There's this acknowledgement that there's an ebb and a flow to life, that there are different seasons in life that we are all going through, and they don't all feel the same, but they all have a different purpose. And that's my big point in today's message. We need to acknowledge the different seasons of life and understand what God is doing in the different seasons of life. Because we can go through winter and just yearn for spring. Yes? We can go through winter and just say, I just want this to be over. And I want spring to come. But then we are not receiving what the Lord is actually doing in us, through us, in that winter season. We miss out on the serious soul-shaping work that actually leads to that flourishing. I don't understand this completely. I've grown up in this country. I've always lived here. I'm as Dutch as they come. So I've gone through 40 winters already. But somehow this winter is hitting me hard, and there's no specific reason for it. I'm happy. I'm healthy. My family is doing well. The church is doing good. Winter is hitting me hard this year. There's this grayness, and there's this coldness and the darkness. It just makes me very unhappy. Anybody can feel this? I think especially if you're here as an international and you come from a place where the sun shines a little bit more regularly, or perhaps every flipping day, and you come here and you notice that your soul, along with your body and everything, is going into a sort of hibernation mode, just like hid under a blanket, and like, oh, I just want this to be over. Like, why am I here? What is happening to me? It's the cold, it's the darkness, it's the absence of sunlight for weeks on end. It's the mist. You remember that mist, like, was it two weeks ago? It just covered, the whole country is covered under this blanket of mist, and it's this, I know, that's why also how my soul kind of felt. It's actually for the first time in my life I started taking vitamin D sort of as a supplement. And I feel happier. It's just a quick recommendation to all of you who come from the sun. Vitamin D is just, it's a very simple physical thing. It will help you. As well as not wearing your jacket inside when it's 20 degrees. Please, my friends, you will get so cold when you get outside. I feel like I'm repeating this every year again to all these new internationals that come. They feel like they have to wear their jackets inside. That's not how it works. And if I'm really honest, I've seen this in our church as well. Just the effect of winter and the darkness and the coldness. Like, we're sensitive. And if you see some of the energy and the intensity in our service, it just kind of flow out. Like, almost unnoticeable. I think we all go through this unknowing. And it's only in the first, day of spring, like the sunlight and the warmth that's coming back, that you feel like your soul is coming to life again. Like, huh? Oh, wait. I haven't felt this way in months. it's so slow and almost unnoticeable, but it happens. I think it's also what made these 21 days of prayer and fasting hard. I tried and I failed in my intentions and how I wanted to pray and fast, because I was just, I don't know, under the weather. How do you say this? It's not only the winter weather that can cause your soul to kind of feel more depleted. And not everyone is experiencing this. There's tons of other things that can happen in our lives that can affect our soul deeply and kind of throw us into a winter season, periods of sickness, periods of disappointments, relational struggles, worries, adjustments to a new living environment, something that many of you go through, and just without a clear reason, you may feel like you're in a desolate place. It's very normal, but it's also very, it's something you need to deal with. It affects your soul. And even without an apparent cause, it can sometimes feel like our soul is kind of thrown into the desert, thrown into a wilderness place where we don't know what to do. And the message that I'm preaching today, for a large part, I've actually preached before. For those of you who've been part of the church for more than 5 years or 4 years actually, in the early months of 2021, I was preaching this message. As I was going through a season of turmoil myself, when my family was going through a really hard season because of the heavy pregnancy that my wife was going through. And it really had a large effect, especially on her, but on the whole family. We're going through a really rough winter season. And so the words that you hear me speak today, they come from a deep place of formation, what the Lord's been doing in and through that season in my life. And so I hope there will be some consolation to you and some direction to you as you go through maybe a winter season in your life. In the passage in Ecclesiastes, we learned that each season has its own purpose. And I need to point out that the passage is not about good times and bad times. It's about different seasons. I mean, there's nothing good or bad about gathering stones and scattering stones, right? There's nothing, it's just, there's appropriate times for each action that is mentioned. There is a time to cry and there is a time to love. There is a time when the only appropriate reaction is to cry. And there's a time when the appropriate reaction is to love and to be happy, to be good. There is a time when it's right to go to war and there's a right time to just enjoy peace. There is a time when we need to embrace one another. And there's also a time when we need to turn away. The writer is not just speaking about good and bad times, but he's pointing out that there are times when only one of the two opposite responses is the right one. You know, there's four basic emotions: happy, sad, fear, and anger. And somehow we only see one of these as good. Only the happy one, like we like. I love that movie Inside Out and how they do that. It's for kids, but it's really also for adults. It says that we need to acknowledge all the emotions that we have, because all of these emotions are good. They have their appropriate space in a healthy soul, and it's important that we are able to kind of feel and deal with our emotions. There are appropriate times to get angry. I mean, injustice and violence are things to really get righteously angry about. When someone you love dies or is sick, it's appropriate to cry. It's appropriate to grieve, to mourn. When a storm is about to hit town, fear or a hurricane or something worse, like, fear is a good response. It helps you to get moving, to get yourself to safety. All of these emotions, they are valid. And experiencing them and expressing them in a healthy way is a good thing. Each is an appropriate time. Each is God-given. And each of them we see in the life of Jesus. I mean, first, Jesus liked to party. His first miracle was turning water into wine. I think he would have been a great guy to be around. He was full of joy and of laughter. Jesus cried at the grave of Lazarus, knowing that he was going to raise him from the dead just a minute later. But he cried. He was in grief that his dear friend had to go through this, and that his dear friends were grieving over the loss of his life. He was often filled with compassion over the crowd that just looked so lost. He was a man of sorrow. Jesus got angry with his disciples numerous occasions. And who can forget the time that he made a whip? He sat down, made a whip to chase out the money changers from the temple courts. Jesus experienced deep distress in the Garden of Gethsemane when he knew that the hour had come. In Jesus, we see a completely emotionally healthy person, a model for all humanity. And he's not driven by his emotions. You know, he's not, like, that's what we call authenticity today, that you know, you always kind of go with where your feelings go. But for Jesus, they were always under the truth of God. Like, every time, like, he got righteously angry. When he experienced deep distress, he was able to say, but not my will, but yours be done. You know, it was always under the truth of God's word. But he was able to feel his emotions and express his emotions in a healthy way. And I think when we hide from our emotions, or worse, go to war with them, just because we don't like feeling what we're feeling, we are not living in the way that God has created us, and we're not living in the way that Jesus has showed us. Pete Scazzaro says this: you cannot be spiritually mature and emotionally immature. The two are deeply connected. And there's this tendency among Christians to try to kind of faithfully push through different seasons of life, even the desolate seasons of the soul, trying to kind of force faith to move into joy. And they'll say things like, rejoice in the Lord always. Like, we have to rejoice. We have to, yeah. But they kind of forget, or they kind of move past the actual thing that the Lord wants to do in that winter season, in that desolate season, in the desert times. Because rejoice in the Lord always. Beautiful Bible verse. I mean, I'll quote it to you anytime. But it can really miss the necessary context. We can only rejoice when we first recognize the season that we are in, where joy is lacking or challenged. Romans 5 says this, same author as the rejoice in the Lord always, Paul. He says, we rejoice, what? In our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. As a runner, I experience this on a regular occasion. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The joy that we find in the winter season of suffering and of pain, of desolation, of gloominess, is not in what it feels like. That's not where our joy is and what it feels like. It's in what it produces in us over time. Emotional and spiritual maturity, resilient hope, peace in God's presence, endurance, faithfulness. These are things that develop, that are developed inside of us during the winter seasons of the soul. And if we don't acknowledge the validity of every season, we'll miss out on the deep soul-shaping work that the Lord is doing in that very season. There's a unique thing that he is doing inside of you in this season that he can only do in this season. So don't miss out on the beautiful and deeply formative work just because you don't like how it feels right now. We're going to move through the rest of the chapter in Ecclesiastes and kind of discover a few more things that the Lord is saying as we kind of acknowledge the different seasons of life. And the first one is this: God is in control. He is above every season. Passage continues like this: what do people really get from all their hard work? I have seen the burden God has placed on all of us. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. There's a chance that you're actually working against the thing that God wants to do in you right now with all your good intentions. And that's called striving. Striving. Striving is when you try to kind of force your way through a gentle work that the Lord is doing in your life, in your innermost being. You become impatient because it's not going fast enough, but you end up doing the very work that the Lord is doing in you in this season. And these verses tell us, God is in control. People cannot see the whole scope of God's work. When we're going through something, we don't know what it's unto, what it is for, what we're struggling towards. We cannot see the whole scope of what the Lord is doing, but we have to trust that He is above every season. We have to trust that He's working in us. Just because you don't see Him answering your prayers doesn't mean He's ignoring your prayers. This is an invitation to hold on, to trust, to surrender, also to the pace that He has for you right now. There are, I love this, there are three very prominent metaphors in the Bible, mostly in the Old Testament, that speak to how God is forming us, how God is shaping us. There's the potter and the clay, a shaping word. I should get Heather up to and explain how the shaping work goes. And then there's the smith, and he's refining silver or gold in the fire. And there's the farmer, this is John 15, that is pruning the branch that is fruitful. And besides a beautiful validation of honest hard work and craftsmanship, it also, what they all have in common is that the object of formation is having a rough time during the formation process, right? The clay that's being shaped is going through a rough time. Actually, the picture in the Old Testament we find, I think it's in Jeremiah, I didn't look it up, sorry, is that if the potter doesn't like how the vase is turning out, he'll start over again and start reshaping that same vase, that same pot. So it's uncomfortable for the clay, you know. It's like, I thought it was turning into something beautiful, but now you start all over again. Should I explain the refining fire? I mean, have you seen a smith at work? Like he's taking a hammer, he's going bang, bang, and the thing is getting hot, and it's uncomfortable for the object of formation. It's a good thing it's just metal or silver or gold. And the farmer, what branches is he pruning? The ones that are fruitful. The other ones he just throws away into the fire. So if there's a fruitfulness in you, if you're a good branch, he's pruning you. Pruning is not nice. It's uncomfortable. It hurts. Ow! My point is this. God's formational work in you isn't nice. Isn't comfortable. Isn't a nice and warm embrace. Patting you on the shoulder, saying that you're doing such a good job. Well, that's also part of it, but usually it kind of comes after. It feels like pruning. It feels like refining. It feels like molding. Because the truth is, there are some unhealthy things going on in our branches that need to get cut off. There's a ton of things that are misshapen in us that need to kind of be beaten into the right shape because it's so rock hard. There's some things that need to be corrected in us. There's some where we can be stubborn like metal and we need to be refined. God is busy forming and shaping you and me. It just means that He's not finished with you yet, that He still has more for you to come, and that He's preparing you, shaping you for a beautiful purpose. Next, God is good in every season. So passage continues. This is a little bit out of kind of what we're talking about. So it's nice, a little bit of relief. So I concluded, there's nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. So there's from talking about the winter seasons in life and a different season for everything, it's just going like, hey, just be thankful and be happy with what you have. You know, it doesn't always have to be fantastic for you to really enjoy. It doesn't always have to be Instagram worthy to be able to enjoy a moment. Enjoying life, enjoying the simple things in life, I think is an indispensable spiritual discipline. Because when you enjoy just the simple, the everyday things in life, you glorify your Creator. You appreciate that He is the giver of all good gifts. You acknowledge God is good. Even if you hate the winter, in all its dullness and all its coldness, there's also snowmen to be made. There's also ice skating to be done. Like, there's a, yeah. You know, There's also the cup of tea and sitting under a blanket and reading your book when it's raining outside. There's a beauty in there. And in the same way, I think there's always joy to be found, even in the darker seasons of the soul. It is the ordinary seasons where we really learn to appreciate the everyday blessings from God, discovering how extraordinary they actually are. Last, God has a purpose for every season. I've said this before, but I'll repeat it. Verses 14 to 15. And I know that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. God's purpose is that people should fear him. What is happening now has happened before, and what will happen in the future has happened before. Because God is making the same things happen over and over again. Seasons come and seasons go. It's winter now, I promise you. Spring will come soon again. It's this repeating cycle according to God's plan. What happened before will happen again. And so it is also with our lives. The season you're in right now, whether that's a winter season or spring or summer season, whatever, it will pass. It will pass. And I firmly believe that God has a purpose for you in this season. There's a unique thing that he is doing in you in this season that he can only do in this season. And so we need to receive that. Growing towards spiritual maturity happens when we validate our current season and lean into what the Lord is doing in us right now. Not what we would like for him to do in the next season that's more joyful. We need to lean into what he's doing in our lives right now. The text here says that we need to fear him. When we see this season as a season that God has a purpose for, we will grow in awe of him. Then you will learn to trust him, to thank him, and to kind of yield to his guidance in every season. So that's also where I want to close it off. Again, most of this message to people going through winter seasons in life, because I don't feel that we often speak to you as you're going through this. We're often talking, you know, fun stuff and challenging things and discipleship, and we're going into the scripture message, and it's often theological, but we don't always speak on a pastoral care level to when you're going through a really hard time, when you're going through a really rough time. So we want to do that today, and so we'll also end it there. You know, spring will come. You know, we'll talk about spring really soon again. Today, just want to acknowledge sometimes life's just rough. Sometimes it's just a desolate season, a winter season. One of my favorite books, possibly my favorite book, is God on Mute by Pete Gregg. If you're going through a rough time, this is a great book. This is a great book to read. Pete Gregg is the leader of 24/7 Prayers, this worldwide prayer movement. He's just setting so many things in motion, and they see miracles and they see prayer, like they see amazing answers to prayer, just growing prayer movements. Really beautiful, great guy. He has a lot to say on, you know, how to pray and how to hear from God and miracle stories and beautiful books he's written. But I like this one the most, because this one is coming from a very deep and honest place, because while his prayer movement was growing, his wife was also very, very sick, and she did not heal. She's still not healed. He says in the beginning of the book, as I'm writing this, like they'd gone through years of sickness. He had a brain tumor and with, seizures and all kinds of things, and I feared for her life many times. He says, as I'm writing this, she still has to take a fistful of multicolored pills every day. So it's not solved. His wife is chronically ill. He's leading a worldwide prayer movement, and he's raising two little boys that are 1 and 3. So he's writing from that place. And he says, I was going through this rough winter season. There was no book that could really speak to me in this time about what the Lord was doing. So he decided to write it himself. Anyway, the cover of the book has this tree in winter. I just love what that symbolizes. Like, it seems dead. The snow is weighing heavy on the branches. But what he says in the book is that it's actually in the winter season that the tree is shooting down deeper roots into the ground. There's a growth and a flourishing that's happening. It's just unseen. You can't see it, but there is a growth and a flourishing happening. It's underground. It's under the surface. You can't see that it's happening, but this is where the tree will soak up all the nourishment so that when the spring comes, it can actually bloom again. And that's what I believe that the Lord is doing in your winter season as well. It's one of the ways that kind of helps us to shoot down deeper roots in God, taking your faith to a deeper place. So it feels less fruitful, but it's deepening. You're shooting down roots. So I'm going to close off with a sort of kind of gold nugget passage from the book of Jeremiah, which is full of doom and gloom and mourning and desolation. But there's one of these gold nuggets. Actually, it doesn't speak to the winter. It speaks to the scorching heat of summer, more appropriate to the climate there. But it's the same principle. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought or winter. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. That's what I believe that the Lord has for you in this time. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up, lead us in some songs. And I want to invite the prayer team, our ministry team, to also come up front and kind of line up in front of the platform, because I think there's a response today. This is a different message than what we've been preaching over the last couple of months. I think there's an invitation for many of us to receive prayer today, even if it's just a blessing of what the Lord is doing in you in this time, or even if you just want to come and kind of share what is going on with you and looking for some direction or looking for any sense of what the Lord is doing in you in this time. Just want to encourage you to come forward. Like, if you guys can already line up, then people can already pick who they're going to ask to pray for them and kind of get ready, because I think the Lord wants to speak to many of us today, and He's given us He's given us His Holy Spirit, and through His Holy Spirit also the ability to speak words not only of encouragement but also of truth, of the right things at the right time, of words of prophecy, words of wisdom. And I believe that the Lord has some of that for you today. So let me end this moment in prayer. I just want to ask you to stand up, and then we'll go back into worship. I want to invite you to come and receive prayer. Lord, we just Lord, I just love that picture of the tree in winter that looks dead and with the snow that's weighing heavy on the branches, but that exactly in that time, it's not even in that time, but it's exactly in that time that roots are shooting down. And Lord, I just want to pray over anyone that's going through a rough time, whether that's physically or emotionally or spiritually or all of them combined. I pray that you see the goodness of God in this season. But that you experience the goodness of God in this season. That as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will know that you don't have to fear evil, because the Lord is with you. The Lord is walking with you through the valley of the shadow of death. We believe in a God that decided to come down from heaven to live life as a human being, to experience everything that we experience, to suffer everything that there is to suffer in life, to be able to conquer that on behalf of us all, so that we could live in victory, so that there, even in our suffering, there would be a purpose. Even in the drought, there would be a preparation for a new flood, for a new rain, for a new time of spring. And so that suffering is not just for nothing. It's not just bearing the weight of a broken world, but it's also a preparation for endurance and character and a deeper sense of hope. But we pray that you'll use this season to do exactly that. Thank you for every season. Thank you also that winter is not forever. Spring also comes. But help us to shoot down roots, to get all our nourishment, to abide in you so that we can be healthy branches that produce fruit. In Jesus' name. Amen.